From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on Tuesday afternoon on the campus of Monroe Community College. At 1:35 p.m., the college conducted a lockdown drill on the Brighton campus. There was no actual emergency. The alert was not initially identified as a drill, and as a result, many students and staff thought there could be, perhaps, an active shooter on campus. WXXI News heard from many students who described crying, hiding in classrooms, some even texting their families in case this was the end. MCC eventually notified everyone that this was just a drill. It was not an actual emergency. And the college also released a statement apologizing for the misunderstanding. They have promised that all future drills will be clearly identified. After the recent mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, school communities are on edge. Most schools are now conducting some kind of emergency training. And yes, this extends all the way down to kindergarten classes, even if they don't label the exercises as active shooter drills. But here's what surprised us. When WXXI News posted about this incident at MCC, we heard from a significant number of people who said that active shooter drills should be disguised as the real thing. Otherwise, students and staff won't take them seriously enough. So this hour, we want to discuss drills, how they are conducted, and what they are intended to accomplish. My guests include Tony Perez, the Chief of Public Safety at MCC. Tony, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I want to say what I said to Tony before the program, and I'm going to say it to our listeners right now. Tony and MCC did not have to be on this panel today. They could have sent a statement, but they're here, and we're glad they're here, and we certainly appreciate that. Three MCC students alongside. Audrey Sample is here. Audrey, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Irvin Williamson. Irvin, welcome to you.
Thank you, sir.
And Kevin James Booker. Kevin James Booker, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so let's just talk about what happened. And Tony, why don't you take me through the events of Tuesday? You planned this drill. How far in advance are you planning? Make sure you're right on top of that microphone so we can hear you. Thanks, Tony. How far in advance are you planning a drill?
I mean, we plan a month in advance. Leading up to it, we do put out notifications that there is a drill coming. Sometimes we have to work around schedules, although we try not to modify the dates too much because we want people to be not necessarily, we don't want to do this at 7 or 8 o'clock at night when there's very few people on campus, and it would be most accommodating for individuals, but not really prepare the majority of our faculty, staff, and students.
In case there's a real incident, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you describe this as an active shooter drill and a lockdown drill? What's the term you use?
Lockdown drill is the term that's used.
Is it meant to handle active shooter situations?
Lockdown is one of the facets of an active shooter situation. For an active shooter preparation, it's run, hide, fight is the training that we provide. Although I normally remember it by ABC, avoid, barricade, confront. But we train individuals for the run, hide, fight, which is, you know, what Homeland Security puts out.
Okay. And when it comes to how you're going to communicate with staff and students, is there any intention to deceive them about the nature of the drill?
It's not my intent to ever deceive anyone about a drill.
You want them to know it's just a drill. You don't want them thinking it's the real thing.
I don't want people thinking it's the real thing. It's not my, you know, I don't want to alarm people. You want people to take it serious. You want people to practice as if it's real, because in a real situation, we will react as if things are real. So there's this... there's this mix of, there's some, like you said, two schools of thought out there where it's, you know, if no one moves, if no one goes in a classroom, then is it really an exercise? But, you know, we definitely don't want to alarm people or have a situation like the one we had.
Okay. And can you let our listeners know what the law says? Are you required to conduct these? Is this your choice, the MCC's choice?
No, we're not required to conduct them, but we think it is important in the reality of today's world. I mean, sadly enough, there have been 17 gun-involved shooting incidents in schools in 2018 alone. So it is important that we prepare everyone on the campus for, you know, the unthinkable.
So this drill starts around 1:35 p.m. How was it supposed to roll out, and what was the mistake if mistakes were made?
Well, we were expecting a drill. It got rolled out as a lockdown. There was a faculty, we have a community emergency response team, and we have members of our security staff that was out handing flyers. But what went out was clearly this is a lockdown, which obviously.
And when you say went out as a text message, as a message that showed up on websites, where did it go out?
It showed up on social media. It was on individual screens. We do email, text, and phone. And it said, you know, MCC is on lockdown. So obviously it created a lot of alarm for some folks.
I want to ask the students who are here, and I'll start with Audrey Sample. It's a name our listeners might know, former intern here. And so we know Audrey well, and so maybe that's one of the reasons I heard from you first. But I heard from a lot of students. I want to ask all of you to describe what you did experience. Where were you when this happened?
I was in my Principles of Journalism class, a class that I used to enjoy. Going forward, I don't know how sitting in that desk will feel, but I was sitting there, we were all watching a movie, and all of a sudden everyone's phones beeped at the same time. And we all kind of looked around at each other like, this is weird that we all just got something. And we looked down and everyone gasped and said, oh my God. And
What did it say on your phone?
It said, MCC is in lockdown. Lockdown was in all caps. Take cover immediately. And so, since in my experience of being a student at MCC and having a father who is a long-term professor at MCC, I knew that MCC tells us when it's a drill, and this didn't say it was a drill. So we looked at our professor and said, did you see this? And he looked at his phone and he gasped, and then he said, let's get the door. And so then we barricaded the door with desks and turned off the lights and locked the door, and then he told us to hide behind his desk. So everyone who could fit behind his desk, and everyone else went into another corner of the room that couldn't be seen by the door.
At that moment, how many people were in the classroom, would you estimate?
Maybe 20 or something. It's a relatively small classroom.
But none of the 20 knew or had any idea that it could be a drill. Everybody thought it was real.
I wouldn't say everyone thought it was real. Some people were speculating that it was a drill.
Okay.
But everyone was, I think by the end of it, people who hadn't been panicking at the beginning were beginning to panic and think that it was real because we should have gotten a text saying it was just a drill by now.
What were your emotions?
I was having a panic attack. I thought it was going to vomit or faint. I have a sister who passed away almost 2 years ago, and so for me, the entire time, all I kept thinking was, now my parents have to bury their second child. My mom's phone was broken on Tuesday, so I was only able to communicate with my brother, and I was texting him the whole time, telling him that I loved him. He was at work at a different city school, and he was freaking out in his classroom because he couldn't call me because my phone couldn't ring, and it was horrible. Other people around me were texting their parents, telling them that they loved them. People who had never talked before were holding hands, rubbing each other's backs. Multiple people, myself included, were all crying silently and trying to comfort each other. So our cries remained silent and didn't make too much sound. At one point, a Gatorade bottle tipped over and everyone flinched. Like, that's how tense things were, was that a water bottle tipped over and everyone, like, freaked out.
When did it end? Just a few minutes after that? How long did it go on?
I think it was 7 minutes total, but it felt like the longest 7 minutes of my life.
Okay. And what was the alert that you got? How did you know it was just a drill at that point?
It said the emergency is over. I think it said resume normal operations. So the emergency was over. Not the drill was over. The emergency. So I didn't find out that it was a drill until a little bit later when I had already gotten home, because my professor excused me from class because I was so distraught. So I went home. My mom had to pick me up. I couldn't even drive home. And I went on Twitter, and MCC had tweeted saying it was drill and that they apologized for any inconvenience.
Okay. Kevin James Booker, where were you at the time?
We have a cafe, and I was like sitting in a cafe with one of my friends, Harry, and he got the alert on his phone. It had called him. We were making a joke about something, and so he assumed that, like, he was getting a call from somebody, and so he answered, and then he pops up, and he's like, yo, like, we need to run, we need to get out of here right now, and I was looking at him so confused, like, what do you mean? And he's like, we need to go, and then behind me, I could hear the alert come from the school's PA system saying that we need to go, and then my phone started to ring, and then I see other people getting up, and I was just still, like, so confused, and there was... We were pushed into this I think it was like a cafe or a lounge for professors. And then from there, they actually guided us to the back of the cafe, like where the workers work and where the managers for the cafe stay. And we were like corralled into the manager's office. So it was like 20 people, like sardine in this one room. And yeah.
Did you think it was real?
I was very much confused. I was like, in the climate of everything, I know MCC wouldn't make a mistake to say it's a drill, but it didn't come across as like real to me. Because I guess in my instance, I was talking to my friend Nick about this yesterday, that I very much have this like instinct where, you know, I don't even, I've never been put in a situation before. So I don't even know it's real until, you know, you start to hear the shots or whatever. And then that's when like your fight or flight instinct like really kicks in. And so I was still baffled, like, is this a drill? Like, if it is, why didn't they announce it? If it's not, I don't even know. I was like just very much confused.
Did you see others who thought it was real?
Yeah. My friend Harry that I was sitting with, he thought it was real 100%.
What were the emotions you were seeing around you?
He was shaking the whole time. He was shaking when he jumped up and he was like telling me like, we need to leave right now. We were all, there was a bunch of us being pushed to the back of the marketplace is what we call it, our cafe. And a bunch of people were just shaking. And like my friend Harry was getting calls from his mom like numerous times, and he was just canceling them because, you know, he didn't want his phone ringing or he didn't want to be on the phone. At one point in time, somebody came and knocked on the door, and I know like I could feel everybody just like drop, like, I don't know what's about to happen right now. And they kept knocking and no one answered, but that person, I had the key, so they just keyed into the room, and we just, it was very much just like shock and like fear, mm-hmm. and almost like disbelief that like in the midst of everything that's happened before, that this is actually happening to us now.
Are you thinking about Parkland and things like that?
Yeah, and that's where I think my issue comes from with MCC and how it was rolled out. I think that the intention of having a drill is perfectly fine, especially in lieu of everything that's been happening. But with the climate that we have, you know, creating that type of situation for students and professors, especially since, you know, Parkland, that happened so, you know, not so long ago, and everything that's been happening in 2018 is just, it's too much anxiety for students that have to live and deal with that.
All right, let me turn to Irvin Williamson. Where were you, Irvin?
I was actually walking into the campus at the time the alert was going off. I work with both student governors. I'm the campus-to-campus liaison, and we had a meeting at 2:15. So as I was walking into Brighton campus, the alert was going off. I was advised to go to the bathroom and or leave the campus. I have a good relationship with most of the public safety on both campuses, so I immediately just started talking to one officer. He told me that it was a drill and that I should either take refuge in the bathroom or leave the campus.
But he knew it was a drill?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you didn't at any point feel fearful that something real was happening, that there was an active shooter?
I'm very trustworthy in the public safety at MCC.
Okay.
I believe if something was to take place that the people that are put in there in place will handle it correctly. I will hope that that doesn't happen on any campus, let alone college or elementary high school. But I'm pretty comfortable attending MCC.
Did you hear from any fellow students who were confused at the time? Did you see any confusion among
yes.
people? Yeah.
Yes. As I said, I'm the campus-to-campus liaison, so a lot of the student leaders were distraught. A few young ladies didn't like that they didn't know whether it was a drill or if it was just a practice. So I think there's no correct way to go about this, being that, you know, this is something that could happen any day at any campus. But I think just getting the correct system out to the students will be the best way to go about it.
Tony, is it hard to, as the chief of public safety at MCC, is it hard to hear these accounts, particularly among students like Audrey, you know, Kevin James Booker, talking about the anxiety they're feeling? It sounds a little bit like trauma.
Absolutely, and that's the reason why I'm here. You know, first, to apologize. That is never our intent to cause trauma, and I mean that with all sincerity. I think we have to learn from this. I know that, you know, I was fully expecting it to be a lockdown drill. I think we're learning from this experience. When I saw it come across, I was at our 911 dispatch, and I spent the next few minutes first trying to keep from local police departments coming on campus because this thing went out on social media. So that created a whole different part to this that we haven't experienced in the past. So I had to try to deal with emergency responders not coming here and then trying to get this rectified. And that's where the 7 minutes went out. A 7 minute difference came in. But, you know, the minute we noticed it, we tried to address it. Unfortunately, there were individuals on campus that were running the drill, and I was at the 911 center. So we need to look at everything on how we work to improve and prevent this from reoccurring ever again. But I just want to reinstate again, the safety of everyone on the campus and the students here is paramount to me. I'm a father of four children that have gone to college. You know, I grew up in a world where there weren't active shooters in colleges. That had never been heard of. And I think we have to learn and grow from this. But the one thing I would not want to do is say, because this happened, we're not going to do them. Because the reality is that, like I said, there doesn't seem to be a month that goes by in our country, unfortunately, where there isn't an incident. And, you know, I think we have to look at, and we've learned at every one of these. We've learned that each one, you know, were our audible systems working? Were our communication systems working? Are there deficiencies in locks or speakers? So, you know, there's an after action to each one of them, and we have to learn.
Well, and for the listeners who have expressed their feelings that you shouldn't warn people in advance that it's just a drill, and let me go ahead and just read a few examples of that. From Twitter, Todd says, this gets people to react authentically as opposed to students' usual defiance of authority and police. Vera says, this is unfortunate, but isn't the emotion part of it? Just playing devil's advocate. Allard says it's a hard spot for schools. How do you create full buy-in from students and staff if everyone knows it's just a drill? Also, you do not want to keep everyone in limbo, so where do we find an appropriate middle ground? And Eric writes, as an educator, I go back and forth. It is scary for little kids, but I can tell you if it's known it's just a drill, there's too much goofing going on. So while I am really conflicted, I'm not totally against it. Those are some examples of people who think you shouldn't warn people in advance. For those who feel that way, I hope you just heard Tony Perez make a couple of points. Number one, when it goes out that this is a real emergency, in particular, a concern about a possible active shooter, and local police nearby hear about that, they don't know that a police officer, on duty, off duty, could show up thinking that this is real. Obviously, a police officer is armed. What happens in that kind of a situation? So if you're going to do it this way, if you're not going to warn students and staff, you better warn every law enforcement officer in the region otherwise. Number two, think about anybody in places where there's concealed carry, which is all across this country. They think it's real. They see anything. You heard Audrey say that a Gatorade bottle fell over, right? And everyone jumped. Sounds like maybe that's a gunshot. Well, now someone with concealed carry hears that. And the whole notion of good guy with a gun in a just drill thinks there's a real emergency. So I understand the notion of wanting people to take drills seriously. But I want to ask Audrey Sample something. Audrey, you said, you know, you guys are kind of huddled up as best you can behind the teacher, the professor's desk. You thought this was real for at least a little while, and a number of other students did as well. Did this prepare you in any way just in case it's real? Do you think you gained anything from that?
It prepared me in no way. We did what we have all learned in some capacity over the course of our lives in terms of barricading the door and hiding and everything. But MCC, and again, I've been a professor there. I mean, a student. I'm a professor. No.
You have a parent who's a professor.
Yes, I have a parent who's a professor there. And myself, as someone who is now 19 and has been a student there since I was 16, I have never received any kind of training from MCC about what to do in the case of a lockdown or what to do if there's a shooter or anything. So it was a drill and no one knew what to do. Like, I've been texting my best friend the whole time since this has happened, and I keep saying I feel like I'm in an episode of Black Mirror. Like, after it was over, it felt like I just got, like, MTV punked or something. Like, I went through this traumatic thing, and then suddenly my college that is supposed to protect me is telling me, like, this was for your own good. It feel like, I know that they're not using those words, but it feels like they're telling me, like, we put you through trauma in order for you to realize how little you know about how to protect yourself.
Okay. What do you think about that, Tony?
Yes. Just going back to that, I know in the last 2.5 years, we've provided 70 training sessions, and that's not the end of it. We have to provide a lot more. Obviously, you know, like I said, we want to provide training for drills. We do want everyone prepared, because that is important for people to know what to expect, how we're going to respond, how law enforcement is going to respond, what your options are. At the end of the day, you know, we're all adults. Hopefully people will take drills seriously and prepare accordingly. I hope that people don't take them as, it's just a drill, I'm going to sit out here in the cafeteria and maybe when I finish my sandwich, I'll go find a place. That's the challenge, but it is the way to go.
Well, in a moment, I want to turn over to some of our listeners, and I want to appeal directly to our listeners. Number one, are you doing active shooter drills at your place of work, at your kid's school, whatever setting you're in or your family's in? I want to know if that's happening. And do you think there's any justification for deceiving the people going through the drill and making them think it's real? Let me go ahead and read from NJ.com. That's NewJersey.com. Here's the headline. New Jersey schools are putting kids through scary shooter drills and parents have no idea. And let me just read the opening of that story. Every month in Jessica DeLuca's first grade classroom at Paul Robeson Community School in New Brunswick, New Jersey, the 6- and 7-year-old students huddle in the corner with the lights out, unsure if there's actually a shooter in the hallway. Even if I try to hide it, the kids can see I'm scared too, the teacher said. For years, New Jersey schools have participated in such surprise lockdown and active shooter drills, putting students as young as pre-K in a potentially traumatic atmosphere. What's also notable about the drills? Parents are often told nothing about the details. Many likely wouldn't even know it happened until after their child comes home and talks about it. A state law in New Jersey, passed in 2010, requires schools to hold monthly security drills, but administrators are not obligated to notify parents in advance. In fact, it's widely considered better practice to wait until parents after the drill happens, while keeping specific details secret from the students. Tony Perez, do you think that's good practice?
I'm a parent. I would want to know, you know, that drills are coming up. I know we put in our tribune, we put, you know, to expect drills. We may not put the specific date and time because then everyone sort of knows. But I think information is important, and then people can make an informed decision as to whether or not they want to prepare themselves.
Irvin Williamson, MCC student, if this New Jersey story, if that was us here, would you be okay with that, that you weren't going to be warned and you weren't going to be told if it was real?
I would rather faculty and staff be warned rather than the students be warned. That way, if it is a lockdown situation, the faculty staff would then be able to lock down. If it's a drill, they would still run it as it's a drill, but if they would know that something is happening and there was no drill prepared, as Mr. Tony said, for that week, then they would know it's an active shooter situation.
But you're okay if some students don't know, if they think it's real?
I think that's where the confusion comes in. I believe if something does happen, then you should just be aware of your surroundings. I don't think every day you should come into school and be scared that, you know, active shooter is going to come onto campus. I think that's going to, you know, make things a little bit worse. That's just my view.
Kevin James Booker, is there a justification for the way New Jersey does it?
No, I don't think so. Because in me, that's a very insensitive way to go about a drill. Thinking of like that effect, to me, it almost creates these two instances where you either have this boy cry wolf effect where, you know, they consistently going through these drills, but nothing's happening. So, you know, the students and the professors become almost like mundane to the fact that it's even happening. They're just going through the motions because they've done it so many times. And then when something actually happens, you know, then they almost don't even realize, because it's like, oh, wow, like this is actually happening now, when we've been conditioned to almost just do these drills nonstop. When MCC releases that a drill is happening and that it will happen in the future, that gives us, yeah, you can have those students who slack off, but, you know, for the most part, that is, I think, the training that we need. Like, okay, I understand it's happening. I'm going to take it serious. I can't force the next person to, but I'm going to take it serious because I know that in a real situation that this is how I'm supposed to respond. And then on the opposite side, it creates this like constant fear. Going to school, I shouldn't feel like I'm going to be shot every day, or, you know, or like random times during the semester that I have to lock down because I think I'm going to be shot. That's not an environment we need to be educating in a safe space. That, to me, is very insensitive to the students and the teachers.
Audrey Sample, is there any justification for the way New Jersey does it?
Absolutely not. As someone who used to be a preschool teacher and who does a lot of childcare work to this day, I can say that I can only imagine how any of my students would have handled that. And I fear for the students of New Jersey. When we teach our children about abduction and about kidnapping, we don't tell them at some point in the next couple of weeks, someone will pull up outside of your backyard and try to abduct you. It might be a drill. It might not be. Parents don't simulate abductions to teach their children about abduction.
That's exactly a point that was made in a recent piece out of The Atlantic. What are active shooter drills doing to kids? The psychological effects of realistic simulations and why they could be dangerous. And you're right. Abduction is even... I've got to be very careful quoting statistics I don't have in front of me. But abduction is something that doesn't happen to most kids, but it does happen. School shootings don't happen for most students. It does happen. Mm-hmm. But nobody is simulating abduction. And that is a good point. And I want to work through some of your phone calls. So, listeners, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Bernard in Fairport. Go ahead, Bernard.
Hi. I'm glad that MCC made a mistake, because now they have to think about how this is going to work. But my primary concern would be, what would have happened in this environment if 20% of the people in the school had guns? It seems to me that, you know, that could have been an unintended shooting. I'd appreciate some thought about that. And I realize there's no answer in how we're going to deal with this. Anyway, thank you very much.
Bernard, thank you very much here. Tony Perez, I'm going to start with you as MCC's chief of public safety. If 20% of the students had guns in a situation where people think there's a real emergency or possible active shooter, does that make it more or less dangerous?
Well, first I'll start by saying we have a no weapons policy, so students cannot be on campus with a firearm legally.
I understand.
Obviously, you don't want accidents, so that's why any kind of accident, so or alarm. You know, one of the concerns is if people read this on Twitter and they have kids, and they don't know that it's an emergency, they start racing to the campus. So we obviously don't want any of those kinds of situations. So that's why we'll clearly state it's a drill.
I know it's your policy, but here's where I think Bernard and many others are going here. There's plenty of schools and places where they do want people armed. The mentality is more guns equals, you know, if you take away the so-called soft zones, soft target zones. Do you believe in that?
MCC has peace officers that are armed. Those are individuals that go through a full police academy, receive a lot of training, all the training that a police officer out in the street receives. And those are the individuals on campus that are armed.
But do you think your campus would be safer if more people had guns?
I'm not going to speak for the college on that behalf.
But just as the director of security, you can't say yes or no to that?
We have people that are armed that are highly trained. I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Any students here think that you'd be safer if more students, more staff had guns?
No. Like, my friend, sorry, Nick Clark made this, and on Twitter, I've seen multiple people post this, but it was a joke that in Australia, they had a lot of shark attacks, so you put up a net to, you know, protect people in the beach from the sharks. You don't give everybody a shark that says, hey, defend yourself from the sharks. You know, that to me is very, like, not, I can't even fathom the thought process of people in schools having more weapons, like introducing more weapons to this place that we continue to try to push and strive to say is a safe environment to learn. This is a developmental institution. Why are we introducing scare and, you know, the worry of your life being killed for, you know, guns? That is not something I don't think.
Irvin, any more safety from more guns?
Yes, I believe that we do hold criminal justice majors at the downtown campus. So I would say that if a person was licensed to carry and they were a criminal justice major, they were studying at the public safety training facility, as Mr. Tony said, I believe that certain students carrying firearms would probably lower the level of other students who don't have license to feel safer on campus.
Audrey, you agree or disagree there?
I would absolutely not feel safer to be around more guns.
Okay.
Just period. End. Mic drop. No.
Okay. A number of comments coming in. Trish on Twitter says, I can't tell you how horrifying this is to me. I simply do not want children to be terrorized. Their mental health and how it affects their physical health is more important than people, she says, men, getting to own guns. Amanda on Twitter, this still feels like preparing kids to avoid death is a failure on our part to do the work of protecting them. Staying alive is not a thing I ever think about at work. They do it, and they do it monthly at least. Tina, who teaches at RIT, writes to us and says, there's no justification for scaring students into taking an active shooter drill seriously. None. It's analogous to airlines doing an in-flight potential crash drill without telling passengers the plane is not actually going down. We will be paying a higher mental and personal cost than the work to improve gun control. So Tina's raising a point here. And by the way, what happens when there's an active shooter drill, whether it's New Jersey or elsewhere? What if an airline did a crash drill and didn't tell people that the plane's going down and someone has a heart attack? That's not impossible. I mean, who is culpable or liable legally? I take the points that I'm hearing, but I want to open it back up to our phone calls. This is Keith next on the line. Go ahead, Keith.
Evan, while I was on hold, I came up with a couple other points. Well, what's going to happen when you do, if you have armed students or teachers who can return fire? What happens if they start hitting innocent bystanders? That's going to be a big issue. And I like the phrase, how if more people have guns, we're going to be better protected. We'd have to be the safest nation on the planet with the amount of guns that we have in this country. But a gun ostensibly does not protect you. It gives you the ability to respond, but it offers not one modicum of protection. But my question is, what type of security does MCC have when it comes to ingress with the school? Is there a few central points that the kids can only enter the building and have to go through metal detectors? Are there backpacks searched? Or what type of security is set up?
Keith, thank you. That's a question that's come up a lot, Tony Perez. I'll direct this to the chief of public safety at MCC. Whether it's at MCC or elsewhere, there's a lot of talk about what doors are locked, what are open, entrance points. So what are the security measures that he's asking about?
I mean, we have public safety. Obviously, we have video cameras that we monitor. But we are an open environment, an open school, and we want students to come, learn, enjoy the environment. And we don't want to get into an atmosphere where you're going through a screening as if you were going to an airport and getting on an airplane, or where we're searching people's backpacks. You know, there's always a balance, but we're an open college community environment. And I think, you know, that's what we love about MCC.
Okay. Students here, does anybody feel like there needs to be more safety measures put in place? Do you feel safe in the buildings that you enter at MCC?
I attend both campuses, but I'm mainly at downtown campus. We have one main entrance, and you can leave through two other exits. So we're pretty much open to the public, but we're locked down at most of the time. You're walking through the front door, and you're leaving through either the front door or the side door.
Okay.
I'll say I do feel safe most of the time. MCC prides themselves, and they use their advertising dollars to say that we are one of the safest colleges in the nation. And that is something I considered when going and starting college. And I've worked with their public safety officers. I used to work in residence life, and they have some of the best peace officers, best public safety officers I've ever met, you know. Especially being an African-American male from New York City, you know, typically in our situation, we don't have a great relationship with cops and things like that. And these are some of the best officers I've ever met. But after this, I'm questioning, you know, the real integrity behind that statement that we are the safest campus. But I don't think that more security measures would make me feel more safe.
Okay. Audrey?
Prior to this, I had never felt unsafe at MCC. And also, I would just like to point out the fact that from the people I have talked to, and I know this doesn't go for everyone, but as a broad sweeping statement, I would say that the people who are telling me that I should be less upset and that that these drills were a good idea, and that they shouldn't be implemented places going forward in terms of students not knowing that it's a drill, are people who weren't in the building. You weren't in a classroom. You weren't hiding behind a desk. You didn't know. You weren't there. Or they were people who already knew that it was a drill, like administration or other people. So it just feels offensive to me in that capacity that they didn't go through the like, it's easy for you to talk is how it feels. And also, I also want to bring up the point that it feels kind of just clueless of MCC to do this when they know that they serve a high RCSD population, and many students who have come out of RCSD have an experience, are going into college already having experienced trauma and having experienced loss. And so you're putting them through further trauma and putting them in a situation where they think their lives might be lost or their friends' lives might be lost. And I just think that's incredibly irresponsible to do that to anyone, but especially given the population that they serve.
All right, we got to get our only break of the hour here. If you're just joining us, we're here with our guests, three students of MCC, Audrey Sample, Irvin Williamson, Kevin James Booker, and MCC's chief of public safety is Tony Perez. And we really appreciate Tony taking the time to be here. They had an incident on Tuesday in which they had a lockdown drill. Some people would call it an active shooter drill. They called it a lockdown drill, an emergency drill on campus. But there was confusion and not an initial explanation that it was just a drill. It took about 7 minutes before the explanation went out. And so a significant number of students and teachers and professors and staff thought it was real. And there was a lot of potential psychological damage with that. But we're having a conversation about how drills are conducted and what it means going forward for us. We've got your calls, and I want you to stay on the line. Tom in Rochester, Colton in Irondequoit, Rich in Rochester. We will get to you after this break right here on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we take a look at eating habits, some of the best athletes in the world, and some athletes in our schools. We're talking about athletes at every level, professional, amateur, adults, kids, and the way eating habits can negatively impact their lives, their athletic careers, and the rest of their lives. Eating disorders are more common than we may think. How to identify them and what to do about it next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Richard writes to us and says, I think this is a terrible idea, contributing to an atmosphere of fear and terror. But he also says the following. I wonder if such a drill, even labeled a drill, would really do any good if there was an incident. Seems like all the casualties take place rather quickly, and in the face of actual gunfire, it's hard to imagine much but chaos. That's from Richard. And I want to address this point because we've been sort of operating with the default that, well, we've got to do active shooter drills. People know their drills, and what we could do is not tell people that they're drills and make them think it's the real thing to get them to take it more seriously. Well, what we could also do is not do active shooter drills at all, and because we don't necessarily have to decide we have to do it. We do that if we think there's a net good here. And Tony, is there a reason to believe that there is a significant gain in lives saved with populations that have had drills?
Yes, I believe so. And I know there was an incident in California not too long ago near a school, and the school went into active lockdown, and they credited the lives being saved by being in lockdown and the individual who actually tried to get into the school not being able to get into the school. I think to just say we're not going to have them and just hope for the best, I think would be foolish. I think you have to have the drills. You learn at every drill. You learn things you could do better. Things that need to be improved upon, not only the public safety staff, but faculty, students, and employees.
Research also shows that even people who are trained with concealed carry are not very good shots when the chips are down and they're trying to respond in an active shooter situation that's simulated. Research shows that people who are trained, when things are real, chaos does sort of reign. So what you're saying is you think there is enough evidence that there is a net good to hold these drills.
That it's not.
There is a net good. That, in other words, we've got to hold these drills even if they are psychologically tough on people.
At first, I think they're good to hold. And in my 32 years of law enforcement, one of the things that we have found with active shooters and looking at them is that the threat has normally been stopped when someone that's armed has addressed them. If not, what defense does anyone really have? I think drills are important. We do fire drills. We do drills for a lot of emergencies. We don't just say we're just not going to do them and hope for the best.
Okay. I think to some degree it sounds to people like Richard that there's a little bit of victim blaming here and that the society should be working toward eliminating or at least reducing the number of guns in circulation, not telling people if someone shows up with an AR-15, you better behave in a certain way because chaos is going to reign. But I take Tony's point as well. No one wants to be in that position. No one. And everyone wants to be able to think that they could handle it as best as they could if they would. That's why we're here today. Tom in Rochester is next on the phone. Go ahead, Tom. Hi, Tom. Go ahead. I'm not hearing Tom.
Tom?
There you are. Go ahead, Tom.
I was Bill. I'm sorry. Jeez. I wanted to say that I work in healthcare. I work in a facility. And we had a coworker recently that was actually quite off-putting to some of us, and he did make some of us think that he was a nervous type, and we all thought this could be the kind of guy that would come in and do this, okay, come in and shoot up the facility. And it was, might have been unfounded, but it was based on little things that you put you off about people. But I came to the situation of to myself thinking, what would I do? What would I do if this guy comes back in and starts with a weapon? It's an odd feeling, but I think the thought of I don't live in fear, but I live in suspicion. I want to be aware of what's around me and who's around me and where could I go or how could I fight back without another, we don't have armed security guards in every healthcare facility, but we have had nationally, shootings in nursing homes and hospitals, and every day they deal with dangerous people. But it's similar to the school situation where this is supposed to be a place of comfort and tranquility, hopefully, for people, but there's the situation is on everybody's mind nowadays anywhere, if you ask me. But I just wanted to say that I think everybody that is in public and works in the world, in America, we need to think about what would you do, how would you protect your space and your place. We can't rely on one set of standards, a drill or a criteria that says, all right, when this happens, we're going to do this. Well,
Tom, I got to jump in because we got to get to some other calls. I appreciate that phone call. Audrey, as someone who described yourselves as traumatized by this, do you agree with him that every workplace, every school, every organization has to do something to prepare for an active shooter?
Prior to this, that's absolutely what
you would
I
have
thought.
Said yes.
I would have said that you needed to have some kind of drill, but then after telling a couple of educators this story, they brought up the idea to me that maybe we don't even need to have drills. Maybe students need to be aware, but maybe it doesn't have to happen in the form of a drill. And that was the first time that idea had ever been pitched to me. And at first it terrified me, but then the more that I thought about it, I realized that, I'm not necessarily convinced that we have to be having drills, or at least having drills as regularly as we're having them.
Kevin James Booker, you said you understand the idea of drills. You just got to let people know. You do support drills overall?
I will say that I do support the drills in the way that they should be conducted. growing, like in the world, we condition kids to, you know, through school. We teach them how to walk in a straight line, walk on the right side of the road, you know, because that translates to adulthood. You drive on the right side of the road, you know, and everything that we do in schools as they grow up, we translate to when they get younger. I'm speaking, you know, from America. And I think that's a part of that conditioning is like teaching them like, okay, I hope that you never have to be in this situation, but this is how you should react in this situation. Because we're, you know, conditioning them that when they leave the school system and then when they go out into their adult world, though I hope that no one ever has to experience this, and my heart continues to go out to the people in Florida, that when you're in an adult situation, yeah, you might not be going through these drills, but you have been conditioned your whole life to, you know, understand at least to some degree how to react. And so, you know, I agree with Audrey that maybe drills aren't the right way to do it. And, you know, as we evolve and, you know, as we evolve and especially with the climate that we have right now, talking about guns a lot in our country, as we evolve, that can change. But until we have something better, I think the correct way of having a drill is how we should do it.
All right. Cheryl in Fairport also has a connection to MCC. She's on the phone. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Yes, hi. I'm sorry. I'm coming into the conversation a little late. My friend notified me that you're talking about this topic. I'm a current student at MCC, and I actually have two family members that are students as well. I wasn't at the university or the college when the lockdown happened, but I did get the notification. My other two family members were there, and first off, it's a note that it did affect all the students there. It also affected the loved ones, so it was a pretty broad spectrum of effects that happened. But the experiences that each one of my family members had was poor response by the staff at the college. One was the teacher just said, it's probably a drill, and ignored it. The other one was in the library, and people were, you know, put into a room, which was good, but no one was keeping them quiet. She said people were screaming, and it was upsetting her more than the actual drill itself with the screaming and everything. It was just such chaos. And as a student, I haven't really gotten any real information about how to react. I mean, is it possible for the university to maybe have it mandatory for teachers to take 10 minutes out of a class and sort of go over protocol and procedure? And actually, the college enforced that all the professors actually follow through. Even if it's a drill, they need to follow procedure.
Cheryl, thank you for that. I want to ask Tony Perez, the head of public safety at MCC, to respond to that. She thinks the staff could be trained better. Is that part of this process of getting people up to speed?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, we hold training sessions. We also hold training sessions at orientation, our residence halls, and our college orientation studies. But I don't think you could ever do enough. And we'll continue to push out training to individuals and offer it. We've had individual parents reach out to us, you know, and we have staff that will meet with them one-on-one and talk about preparation and lockdowns and what it means. So, you know, we're always available to assist anyone that's looking for help.
I just got an email from a listener named Leah that I think is so smart, because there's been some listeners who say, well, you got to do this and not warn them that it's not the real thing, because otherwise people goof off. People goof off during fire drills, you know, and that happens, and it's unfortunate. But Leah writes, if people goof off during drills, it's on them. We end up with bad situations like this one when we are scaring people and manipulating them by not letting them know what you're doing to them. When we try to correct for or control people who are not behaving in a responsible way voluntarily, have your drill. Let people who want to learn from it. You cannot control everyone. I think she's right.
Yep,
I mean, I just can't imagine any other logical response better than that, and I appreciate that, Leah. I want to start to close the hour by asking the three students, let's go around, and we got to keep it tight. What do you want from MCC and your school going forward based on what happened this week? Audrey Sample.
First of all, I want an apology. I want a more thorough apology acknowledging that this was more than an inconvenience.
They've apologized.
Not. I haven't had time to look at the thing that was put out this morning, so maybe that will meet my standards. I'm open to that. That's on me for not having read it yet. But at least what was published yesterday was on Tuesday was atrocious. And just overall, there are not necessarily right answers to how drills should be executed, if there should be drills, but there are definitely wrong answers.
Okay. What do you want from your school?
Same, just very much like just being sensitive to the climate that we have right here in our country right now. And just better execution. What they said, they released their statement on Twitter saying, you know, next time we're going to clearly communicate that it's a drill. I think that is appropriate.
That has to happen.
Yeah, like you need to tell people it's a drill, because then you create these situations, you know, of trauma and anxiety, and create an unnecessary urgence among students, especially when we're dealing with that right now.
Okay, Irvin?
I would ask that any students who would like the active shooting training, that it be open to them, as well as any faculty and staff, that it be all on one time, one course, so that way everybody's on the same page. I would ask moving forward that there be no hidden agendas as far as what's going out in the Tribune, as far as faculty and staff in the Student Tribune, that we all just keep it all on the same page.
In 30 seconds, Tony Perez, you listening? What do you think of what you've heard from the students?
First, I appreciate them being here. Their safety is of paramount importance to us. You know, I'm not holding back. You know, a mistake was made. A message went out that should not have gone out in that fashion. I'm personally responsible as the director of public safety, and I apologize to our students, our staff, and faculty. It was wrong, and we'll make sure that it never happens again.
I want to thank you for being here. You didn't have to be here. And thank you, Tony. I know it hasn't been an easy week, but a lot of lessons going forward. No one wants to be in this climate to begin with, and it's hard decisions in a lot of ways. Tony is the chief of public safety at MCC. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also here, the three students sharing their perspectives. Irvin Williamson, great having you. Thank you, Irvin.
Thank you, sir.
Kevin James Booker, nice having you, Kevin.
Thank you so much.
And Audrey Sample, thank you, Audrey, for being here.
Thank you.
All right, short break. More Connections coming up.